Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your might. Please stand and worship with us. God has done. How awesome his works in man's behalf. Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts, says the Lord.
And darkness.
be seated. I told them in practice last night, a lot of these songs, I think they need to write 8 or 9 more verses.
Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Well, almost. Today is our New Year service. So we are concluding 2023, and such a blessing it has been. It has been a blessing on many aspects. And every single year we get to this point that we, on a personal level, do what? We set resolutions. And here we are at the basically beginning of 2024. And I don't know about you, but a lot of people, I'm sure, are ready to make more resolutions. And maybe there have already been some resolutions that have been formed. Maybe you have already figured out what you want to do or what you want to change within yourself. But what exactly is a resolution? Oh, I looked in Webster's dictionary for the answer on this one. A resolution is a promise to do something differently than you did before. And it could be anything, really. And every single January, it seems that millions and millions of people around the world begin their year with a New Year promise, with a personal pledge to change something about themselves. Some of my past resolutions included losing weight. There was, at one point in my life, I weighed 400 pounds. Yes, and I am sitting at about 250 right now, so you can imagine how big I was. And I had a resolution to lose weight. I have had resolutions of getting more organized. And if you saw my office at home, you would understand I am still working on that. And I've had resolutions on managing my finances better. And whenever a promise that you create for yourself, it is to make yourself a better version of what it was before. So I will ask you, what are the resolutions or the promises that you have given yourself? Now, I ask this question not because I'm being nosy. It's basically a rhetorical question. But it's actually, the reason why is to ask this question instead. What spiritual New Year's resolution have you made? We all have made commitments, and we have told our friends, we have told our families, hey, help me make sure this happens. The unfortunate part is, a lot of times by January 3rd or by January 7th, we've given up and we've thrown away those resolutions. And very rarely do we actually follow through with these promises. Why is that? Well, the title of today's message is It Worthy? We will be in the book of James, chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. And I will be reading from the New King James today. As human beings, our struggle for consistency and commitments goes way back in history. We have a problem with that. We can't seem to stay in line with commitments. Now, not all commitments, of course, but we just have a problem with maintaining what we're promising ourselves to do. Making commitments that we just can't seem to keep runs through all societies of this world, and it goes as far back as the biblical days. Now, in the Bible, James spoke of some people who can teach us a very valuable lesson about great intentions that are not aligned with God's will. Please stand and follow along for the reading of God's word. James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. You may be seated. Our plans may or may not be God's plans. We covered this morning in Sunday school, just a little bit of it. If you want to be successful in any New Year's resolution, what do you have to do first? You have to seek God's will first. That's first and foremost in anything we do. We are not here on this earth to live for ourselves. We are on this earth to live for God's will and his plan. And how are we supposed to know that unless we are in prayer with him, in communication with him, in the word daily? And through his strength, you will accomplish your personal promises as long as it is in his will. What does God want for our lives? When he convicts us of something, he also is equipping us to follow through with his plan. When we know that we are following God's plan, then we have more strength to stick to it. Allowing God to work well beyond our normal January 3rd quitting date. See, God is going to give us the strength that we need to accomplish what we have to do. We cannot do this on our own. We don't have the ability to stay focused enough to do his plans. And why is that? Because it's not our plan. It's not something that we came up with. It's not something that we have designed. It's his design. And so in order for us to stay laser focused on that, he has to give us the will. He has to give us the strength, and he has to give us that focus in order to make it come true. Now, James goes just a little bit further in chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Why is James using a farming parable here? Now, James is using a parable. This is my opinion on this. Okay, I want this to be clear. Jesus used a lot of parables in his teaching. And the disciples saw the impact that those parables made with the people that were listening. And so my opinion is that James, along with the other disciples, also used parables in order to kick in gear people relating to what he is trying to teach. And isn't that how we learn a lot too? I'm up here, I use illustrations. Why? I use the illustrations, which can be known as a parable, in order for you to be able to apply it within yourself. And so that's why I think right now James is using a parable about farming. But what is James actually saying with this illustration? We are the farmers of this world. Okay? We have to also use patience. Now, when I say we are the farmers of this world, get this. As farmers, we have to use patience and wait for the Lord to bring growth to his crop. Okay? A long time ago, I once worked for a family who owned cornfields. I was, the truck driver for their company, and they would plant in May and then harvest from September through November. And I'm going to tell you, it's really difficult to be out in the field on Thanksgiving night instead of at home having turkey dinner. Even though I was single at that time, so I didn't have anybody at home. But it's still difficult knowing I'm in the field. And back then, I didn't have a whole lot of patience. Okay? That is a lot of time, though, if you think about it, from May until November. That's a lot of time to just sit and wait. Now, of course, farmers throughout that time, they're busy, keeping that field, maintaining that field so that their crop can grow. But it's still a lot of time to wait and to be patient. I couldn't do it. I don't have that kind of patience. But when farmers do what they are intended to do, God is able to do what only he can do. That is what we are to focus our attentions on. Patience for God to reveal his will for our lives. We are the farmers of this world, cultivating, bringing the crops of the lost into the fold. You see why James is using the farmer parable? How do we honor God with our lives, though? That seems to be the question of the ages. Would he be blessed if our financial affairs are in order? Now, what are your thoughts on the possibility that he would use us mightily if we served in a ministry or shared our faith with others? Would that bless him in the process? Yes, it would. Certainly the Lord can be in all of those things. And like a farmer, we must do what God wants us to do in order for God to do what only he can do to produce the results for his will for our lives. Now, the second thing to look at, though, is God will be honored more if we make spiritual resolutions or promises and then keep them. Read your Bible daily. Get involved in a ministry. And I guarantee you, we need help. You know, I can divert you to where we need the help from. Share your faith with friends, with family members, with neighbors. The list goes on and on. We have an entire world of people to share our faith with. And then take a step of faith. So big, so tremendous, that only God can make it happen. That's a powerful thing. To have so much faith in God that He is not going to allow you to fall. That whatever it is that comes to mind, you take that leap. Because you know God will catch you, or God will stand you firm. Resolve to represent Jesus Christ, no matter what the cost is. And remember, as I said before, this life isn't ours to be living. It's for us to live this life for Jesus. That is what we are here for. Jesus gave His life for us. The least we can do is give our life to Him. Now, let's look at something else. Hebrews 13, verse 13. Therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. What resolutions should you focus on in this coming year? Here are just a few suggestions that I would like to throw out. Suggestion number one, I'm going to call these spiritual resolutions. And here's the first one. Pray about it. I mean, that seems kind of obvious, but you'd be surprised how unobvious it actually is. Because we are to seek God's face, and we are to pray a prayer every single morning for the next year. That is my homework for you. And I'm going to go a step further. The moment you wake up, you pray a prayer. And the moment before you go to bed, pray a different prayer. Seek His face during your life this next year. Look at what this psalmist uses as a guiding prayer. Psalms 51, 10 through 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Allow that to be a guide for your prayers. Spiritual resolution number two. Give your time and your attitude to the Lord. Again, seems obvious, right? Let's resolve to give our attitudes completely to God. In other words, let's have a great attitude about everything. No matter what comes up in your life, no matter what kind of distraughts there are. Find joy in it. Love what is happening. Because this is where God is molding you to be the person He wants you to be. This is the point where we have to find joy in everything that we are having done to us, so to speak. Now, this next verse, let me back up just a hair. Commit to making a difference, no matter where you are, in your home, in your workplace, at the grocery store, on the road. It doesn't matter, even here at church. Commit yourself to making a difference for someone or something. Okay? And this next verse should guide you in this endeavor. Colossians 3:14-17. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Spiritual resolution number 3. Don't do it alone. You're not alone in anything of this world. You have loving people all around you right now. You have loving people in your life at some point and somewhere. Thomas Fuller, a 17th century preacher, said this: seek Him and His wonderful plan for your life. The two of you will make a great team. United in your determination to fulfill your destiny, a strong will, a settled purpose, and an invincible determination can accomplish almost anything. You not only have the people around you that you can physically talk to, but you always have God. You always will have God to have your back, to help you through everything. It doesn't matter, because look at what Thomas Fuller said. The two of you will make a great team. And we do. We make a great team with God. And what a powerful statement that is. And so often we think that we are alone in our lives and that we are on our own no matter what happens without any help. And that is so false. That is Satan planting those thoughts in your head. That is not true in any way, shape, or form. Because again, like I said, you've got God, you've got His Holy Spirit, you've got everybody around you right now, whether it's in this building or in your private life. You have people around who love you. You have God who loves you. And you have the Holy Spirit who is here to help us. We tend to live as though our lives are completely up to us, even though none of it is. If I had it my way, I would have never had to go through the suffering that I've had to go through in my life. But it's not up to me. And all of those sufferings from way back in junior high, high school, days in the military, and every suffering after that, I wish I never had to go through any of it. But I had to, because it was molding me into what God needed me to be. And without those experiences, I wouldn't be standing here today. I wouldn't be a Christian in today's world. I was nowhere near who God planned me to be. And so I had to go through that. If we are focusing all aspects of our life in Christ, then we are a member of the holiest of alliances. Amen. Romans 3, 25 and 26. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. As you all know, life is not going to always be easy. Following through on simple commitments will even become difficult throughout time. And when the hard parts of life seem to be weighing you down, that's when the difficulty arises even more. The attacks from Satan will challenge you at every turn. And let me offer to you a prayer that is found in Acts 20:32. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. In conclusion, as our wonderful musicians come back on up here to close us out for the day, I have been asked a few times since I have arrived if I have been given a vision for ABC. I have to answer that as yes, I have. For this next year, the vision for ABC is to focus on our community and ourselves. That is what we are going to do this year. And before we can fully embrace the future of Alturas Baptist Church in and for this community, we need to first focus on how we are living as a body of Christ. So we will begin with a focus on becoming better disciples of the Scripture. We are going to leave this world behind. And we are going to become better citizens of the kingdom here on earth. In order to be able to properly share the message of the kingdom to those around us with the lost. While also reaching out into this community, we will also begin a discipling mission. We will begin this vision this new year. Promise for ABC with a new course that I will be implementing pretty soon. I am going to, in the coming weeks, I'm not exactly sure when, I'm going to place a sign-up sheet out here in the foyer. And I would like for people, all of you to pray about this. Okay? The sign-up sheet is for a new class that I will be teaching. And this course is going to be limited to our current membership. And we will begin roughly in February with the Master Life Discipleship Program. It is a 4-section course. Each section is roughly 6 weeks. So it's basically a 6-month course. And it is intense. And it is to teach us, no matter how long we've been Christians, we could be new, we could be not new. This is an intense program that is going to teach the finer details of discipleship for your life. And also give you the ability to disciple others also. It is, like I said, very intense program. Everyone, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, I guarantee you, you will benefit from it. You will be blessed from it. And you will learn a lot from this course. And like I said, I will be leading it. At the completion of the course, I am going to handpick from the first class people who are going to give the class to the others in our group. This Master Life course is going to be the standard discipleship class for all new Christians that are coming to this church. As we fill up this church, we will be discipling through this course. And I need each and every one of you to have the ability to help in teaching this course to the new people. And it's going to open your eyes on things that you thought you had a handle on. You'll realize you don't. And you will learn from it. And it will enhance your life. It'll enhance your abilities to see things, to do things, to be more open to God, which is what we're here for. What did Jesus command us to do?
Go into all the world.
To make disciples. And that's exactly what we're going to do here at ABC. And so as you leave here today, I want you all to seriously review the New Year's resolutions that you have been considering making for yourself. And ask yourself these two questions before you finalize that. Question number one, what promise can I commit to Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus? And the second question, is that promise worthy? Is it worthy to be in the name of Jesus Christ? Are you focusing your promises to edify yourself throughout the next year? Or are you making these promises to edify the one who gave his life for us, Jesus, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? If you are here today and you are in need of a proper focus for your life to the Lord's ministry, then come forward and give your selfishness to God. And let's change your life course to something that will edify Jesus to everyone around you. If you're here today and you are in need of giving your life a purpose, a plan for 2024, then come to the altar of God. Pray that God's Holy Spirit will change your life, to give you that purpose of God's plan to be done through you in this community. No matter what your need is for your life, come to our Heavenly Father and let's kick off this new year in the right direction. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed day or blessed week.
Psalm 145:18. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth.